pulsing, pumping up. I've got 3 inspections in one day. Monday we can have dry walls.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, y'all don't get it. That's all right. That's all right. I can't help. Our God is such an awesome God. You know, folks, as the year is coming to an end, Christmas time is coming, and some people are thinking, what am I going to get for Christmas? One time I asked a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, I was back in school, and he and I came from the same church. And although we didn't quite believe in this Christmas stuff, he and there we kind of pick on each other. I ask him, so what am I getting for Christmas? He looked at me like a good Bible-believing person. He recite, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But as we come to the end of the year, if you came this morning expecting to hear about a baby in a manger, you're not going to hear about that. Because that baby in a manger has grown to become a full man. King of kings, Lord of lords, the judge of all nations. But I want to tell you that as the holidays are here, if nothing else goes right with you within the next 7 days, what I mean by that is, if you didn't get, or if you will not get anything that you're expecting to, always remember that Jesus is all that you need. Jesus is all that you need. Brother Preacher, give me Matthew 5:6 on the Message Bible. I want you to hear this. If nothing else comes through the pipe, and you gave gifts to a lot of people, but nobody remembered you, that's quite all right. Jesus is all you need. Read it with me. You are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God, His food and drink in the best meal you ever eat. Say amen. I mean, if everything else fails, you are blessed when you have worked up a good appetite for God, not for the things. You know, because at the end of the day, things are just things. Things breaks down. Things are stolen. Things get old. God never get old. God will never be stolen from you. God will never break down. So if nobody else gave you a gift, remember that. You are blessed, really, really blessed, when you have worked up a good appetite for God. You know why? He is food and drink in the best meal you will ever eat. Amen? You know, sometimes we get wrapped up with this season stuff, put it this way, the season stuff. And I've known throughout my years in ministry that some people you pretty much get bent out of shape after they spend so much money buying gifts for so many people and they don't get anything. Develop a big appetite for God. That's the best meal you ever eat. Jesus Christ is your satisfaction. Jesus Christ is all that you need. Jesus Christ will fill all the voids left in your life. You know, Brother Preacher, give me Joel 2:26, and let's start with the NLT. Jesus Christ is all that you need, not the gifts. Am I denying that it's good to get gifts? No. Joel 2:26. No, I'm not denying. It's good to get gifts. But life is not about things. Life is about God. Life is about a relationship. So when you are content in having Jesus as your everything, life goes like this. Read it with me. Once again, you'll have all the food you want. And you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again. Tell your neighbor, you're not disgraced. Or maybe you should tell your neighbor, God is the one who does these miracles in your life. That's the best Christmas gift that you could ever have. The God of Israel doing miracles in your life. Amen. You know, I like to brag about my God. Sometimes my beloved wife says, you shouldn't be talking. I mean, come on. Everybody knows our life in and out in the church. And she's right. You know, she's right. But I get carried away with my God. When we were in Florida, we were doing very well. I was doing $8,500 a month. Had a company car. And I still had $2,000 salary from the church down there. So I was making $10,500 a month, clean, after taxes. We were doing very well. I bought my first airplane, and then we changed it for a bigger one. Life was rolling, really good. One day I made a mistake to come to Pennsylvania. I despise Pennsylvania because of this. My way back, we decided that was the biggest mistake, to drive through Baltimore. That was the biggest mistake. Now we are joking. Yes, ma'am. We are joking. Now we are joking indeed. But look at things in a human perspective. The Lord said, I want you here. So what? While the Lord is speaking, I drive upon a rat that's about 5 pounds big. I say, you're joking, right? No, I want you here. Either here or Lancaster. Absolutely not. No Lancaster. No, 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 no. And the Lord asked, why? He said, the cops are too cocky over that side. And I'm going to end up in jail. The Lord said, I want you here. I tried to persuade the Lord. I said, you know what? I really start a new ministry on the subways. The Lord, you know how many people, millions of people ride that subway in Miami? No, I want you here. I couldn't believe my ears. I couldn't. So I got somebody to fill my place in the church down there. And the time to come, I ran away. I went all the way down to Florida City, past Homestead, on the way to Key West. And I'm trying everything that I know in the book, and it's not working. Then things start falling apart. I had 10 cars back then. A few of them were stolen. Some of them crashed when they lent it to other people. It came to the point that a church in Florida City was bringing a basket with food for me every single week because I couldn't find an employment. I quit my job thinking about coming here, and then I turned around and said, no, I'm not going to go to Baltimore. But you know, you can trick God. How many of you know that? You cannot trick God. And things went downhill. So every afternoon, I went to pray, and the very same angel showed up. And I always said, when can I go and get a job? I want you in Baltimore. I don't want to go to Baltimore. So finally, one day, I am upset because the preacher of the church where we were, he is known as Mr. Job Guru. He can get a job to anybody in South Florida. He knows so many people. And he looked at me and said, nonsense. You're telling me you cannot get a job? I said, I will flip burgers. He walked with me from 7 in the morning until 9 in the evening, and we could not get a job. He looked at me and said, man, there's something heavy upon you. So, upset, the next morning, I go into the bush, where I used to pray, and I screamed from the bottom of my lung. I think it was heard in Cuba. And the angel showed up again. Are you ready to go? I said, I can't even move. How am I going to get to Baltimore? That's not the answer I'm looking for. Are you ready to go? Yes. Baltimore. Then the angel told me, I'm going to send, somebody will call you as soon as you walk through your door. His name is David Miller. He's going to invite you to go preach on a youth meeting. And the money that you will make will be enough to carry you to Baltimore. And where is he? He's in Sarasota. It's about 4 hours away from here. I have already spoken to somebody to take you there. You sure? Are you ready to go? Yes. As soon as I walk through my door, the phone rings. I pick up the phone. Is this Pastor Paul? I said, yes, sir. This is David Miller. I said, yes, I was waiting for your call. What do you mean? I told him, the one whose presence I stand told me that you would call. So then you know what I'm calling for. I said, yes, when is the meeting? He said, this coming Saturday. I'll be there. And he said, by the way, you're going to have a chauffeur picking you up. Okay. When I got to that church, 436 kids. 436 kids. I delivered the message. There were some old folks between them that came back for repentance. On that day, I was talking about you can get married without even knowing the person, as long as you're living a godly life. And that blew everybody's minds away. Somebody shot on the back, prove it! I will. So we started putting the scriptures up. And some old folks had messed up the beginning of their marriage, before they got married, they came up for forgiveness and this and that and the other, and they collected an offering for me that was $2,450. Driver brought me back, so I told my wife, I guess we moved to Baltimore. She said, are you serious? Said, yep. The Lord told me, buy that van. There was an old van, 4 ball tires. Mind you, I never drove in snow. I wasn't a friend of snow. And it was winter time. And I'm looking, you said for me to buy this? He said, yes, buy this van. Offer the man $150. Called the landlord. Said, I want to buy that van from you. Said, I'll sell you $1,000. And I'll give you $100. He asked me if I was, you know, under the influence of something. Long story short, we tied $150 and they bought the van. A van that was 20 years old and hasn't driven for 10. This is how God does stuff, huh? And I'm thinking, well, if it breaks down, it's your fault. Got this thing done, went to a Home Depot, got a piece of carpet, put on the floor. Then we loaded everything on that van and get a U-Haul 3,500 pounds trailer, hook on the back on a 4 tires ball tires. No strips on this thing. No threads. And we headed towards Baltimore via Harrisonville, Virginia on the Appalachian Mountains. That was only 3 feet of snow. much. I say, should have closed her eyes when she would see the turns and all that snow. And we tried to trick God. I parked in Hagerstown. And I said, Lord, you know what? I was in Minnesota, International Falls, at the Canadian border. And that man desperately need help with that ministry. What if I go over that side? That time was no word, but a deep fear of God came upon me. So I turned around. I had left the thing at the U-Haul parking lot in Hagerstown. Turned around and hit I-70. I asked, where you want me to go? He said, Miles Avenue, Baltimore. What? Miles Avenue. What in the world is Miles Avenue? I didn't have a GPS. And how many of you know that in 1998 there were no GPS around? So my GPS, it was called Holy Spirit. Take I-70. I did. When they come to the end, the Lord take 695 north. I did. Take 83 south. I did. When they came to Cold Spring, take this exit. Whatever. Took that exit. I'm driving. I don't know where I'm going. Now, those of you who live in the city know what I'm talking about. Make a right on Falls Road. I'm looking Falls Road. That's Falls Road. We make a right. And I'm looking all this, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? Finally, I came to 33rd Street. I'm driving through Hampden. All the way to the very end of 33rd Street. And I made a right. He told me, go straight on 33rd Street. At the end of 33rd Street is 26th Avenue. Make a right. I made a right. And I'm looking for Miles Avenue. And then I pass one street. Next street, it's a little sign, Miles Avenue. So I made a right again. So when I'm driving, I came in front of 2733. That's your house. It's burned up. And it was. That's your house. So we went to a hotel. And now we're going to find who owns that house. And they made a deal with that man. We met. I asked him, are you the owner of 2733 Miles? He said, yes. I told him, well, that house is supposed to be mine. He said, is that right? I said, yes. And who are you? I said, I'm Pastor Paul Santos. He says, the name in the deed is not yours, it's mine. I said, yes, but it will be mine. The name on the deed will be my name. So we talk and talk and talk and talk. We met. After 2 hours, he sold me the house. A burned up house for $12,000 on a land installment contract. So when we open up and see the skies and there's no fall inside the house, I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me. We got a phone call for some friends in Pennsylvania. And to Pennsylvania we went. And they raised a group of men that came, and within 30 days, that house was redone. And we moved in Miles Avenue. In one of those days, I'm asking, Lord, I still can't understand. We tried to witness, and the whites said that they wouldn't listen to me because I wasn't Irish. And the blacks said that they wouldn't let their kids come to the meeting because I wasn't black. So I went to the Lord. Why am I here? Just help me to understand. And the Lord said, because I want you to be an example for the folks on this town. There's so many Christians here you could use. I want you to be an example. I'll be honest, I wasn't happy with that answer. I want you to contaminate. I want you to contaminate these people with the message. that I'm going to give to you. I went all around to say this. One of the reasons that you are here today is because God wants you to be contaminated with the Word of God. Talk is cheap, but your message takes a new level when you can prove through your actions what you're preaching. You with me, right? He goes on to say, once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. And God has been really, really, really good for us. She's trying to remind me of that. I said, I don't want to hear this anymore. And then the Lord fired right back. I don't want to hear any complaints. And you know when God speaks, you better listen. Because I said I didn't like Baltimore. And the Lord said, I don't want to hear any more complaints that you don't like Baltimore. And I zipped. And you know, I actually like Baltimore now. I do. I better be on the good side, right? So why are you telling us all this, preacher? God brought me here with my family. And he's blessing me, a foreigner, as y'all say, with an accent. Although I have American citizenship. With an accent and colored to top off. So that you can understand if God can do this for this foreign with an accent colored man, he can do for you too. You can feast with all the food that you want. And then praise your God. Because he is the one who does the miracles in your life. It's Christmas time. You may not get whatever you're expecting to get. But you'd do better. You'd be blessed if you develop an appetite for God. Because you'll be the best food and drink that you will ever have. And the promise is that once again, why once again? Because he did it last year, he did this year, and he's going to do it again in 2014. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God. Because he's the only one who does these miracles for you. Amen? So what's the bottom line, preacher? God wants to bless you. He already proved that he can bless people. God wants to bless you. And he's waiting for you to come around so he can show you love. He can show you compassion. Amen? Give me the backslide translation here, brother. Let's read it. You will eat your fill of good food. You'll be full of praises to your God. The God who sets. Are you listening to this? The God who sets you back on your heels in wonder. Never again will my people be despised. God is willing to work with you. Let's give God a chance to work, will we? Shall we? Yes. If you don't get any gift whatsoever on this season, raise up your hand and say, my God, I stand in wonder, in amazement for all these blessings you have given me this year. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, preacher, anything else under your belt? Yes. Brother preacher, can you give me Philippians 4:19 on the Message Bible? Would you read it with me? You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. His generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours from Christ. Are you all listening to that? His generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours from Jesus. So what you're saying, preacher? You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. Tell your neighbor, God will take care of everything you need before this year is over. You done, preacher? Not yet. Don't get excited. I'm going to give you two more scriptures and then I'm calling to a close. Brother preacher, can you give me 1 Corinthians 3, 21? Now we're going to go 22 and 23. Let's start with what have you have in there? NLT. Listen carefully to this. So, don't boast about a following, a particular human leader, but everything belongs to you. What you have today is not a particular leader that gave it to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Your God did. Are you with me here? We're not going to take away the credit from God. So don't boast about following a particular leader, whether he's Republican or Democrat or independent, greener, Unitarian, whatever it is. Don't boast about following a particular human leader. For everything belongs to you. Now listen to verse 23. The same 23. Okay, 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter, or the world of life or death, or the present or the future, everything belongs to you. I want to show you 23. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. Everything is yours. You belong to Christ. As Christ belongs to God. Therefore, if nothing else comes your way, you have Christ. That is your sufficiency. You have Christ that will take care of you even when the human leaders don't. Now, give me the backslide translation here, Brother Preacher. Let's read it. And you are privileged to be in union with Christ. You are privileged to be in union with Christ. So, if the Christmas game that you expected didn't come, don't cry, please. Final scripture. Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 20, and then 21. We're going to start with the Message Bible. It is my prayer and the prayer of my family that 2014, all these promises will come through in your life.
Amen.
Let's read it. God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dream. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. He is a spirit deeply and gently within us. Did you get that? God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or even request in your wildest dream. Now you should tell your neighbor, God will bless you in 2014. Beyond what you can imagine or guess. God will bless you beyond your wildest dream. It's a promise. Now listen to verse 21. Read it with me.
Glory to God in the church.
The reason that the God will bless you before the year finish, big things happen, and then in the new year, is because you as the church of God are supposed to give him glory. Amen?
Amen.
Plain and simple. I give my God glory for all that happened this year so far. Especially today. After this report came through, I am kind of rejoicing within myself right now. I wish I could start putting drywall today. You know? But we're going to let the experts do it. But God will bless you beyond your wildest dream, your wildest imagination, because he wants you to glorify him for being the God that he is. Amen.
Amen?
Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And just in case, Lord, if we have no Christmas gift, as some people get bent out of shape because of this, help us to understand, help us to realize that we are blessed when we develop that appetite for you. That will be the every meal that we will ever have. Best meal we will ever have. So Father, give us a hunger for you and for the things of God. And help us, Lord, to understand that at the end of the day, things are things. They can be misplaced, they can be broken, they can rotten, they can be stolen. But you, none of that stuff can happen to you. You will always be with us. You will always satisfy us. You will always care for us. And you are a help ever present in times of trouble. So, Father, give us that craving for you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. You have a testimony. Well, the preacher will, there's some testimonies.
For one.